Carolyn Dama, and I'm from Kenya, from an organization called Grassroots Economics. And I'm here to share about our experience of trying to empower the community so that we make sure the community helps solve its own problems. It does not look towards the big people. It finds its own small ways to solve its own problems. So I'm going to show you how we did that, mostly using community currencies. And for those who don't know community currencies, I'm going to explain a bit about them. And I'm going to finish also by sharing a short video just to explain the community currencies. So I hope you'll enjoy it. And feel free to ask me any questions at the end of it. So I'm going to begin. You can see a picture there. That's the first community currency that we started with. It was called Bangla Pesa. So it's called community currency. Usually we give it a name of the community that it's coming from. So the place that we're doing was called Bangla, and Pesa is the Swahili word for money. And what we do usually is ask children to draw things they see around them, and that's what we put in their community currency. So if you look at the pictures, you see women cooking, women pounding, there's somebody sewing, farming, people dancing, so anything that the children see in the community. And then that's what we put in the currency. So it has to be very participatory, and the whole idea is that they have the power to do what they do, and it's about money being a tool that serves people, that people should not serve money. I think we'll understand sustainable development. According to the UN Sustainable Development Goal about poverty, it should be able to ensure sustainable livelihoods. And apart from that, it should make sure that there is no malnutrition, there is no social discrimination, no exclusion, and that people are involved in decision making. The economy should be all inclusive, and it should be sustainable, and it should bring about equity. So some of the today's challenges that we see in the world that maybe the community currency is able to address: one is unemployment, two is exclusion, three inequality, economic shocks, poverty, global warming. And most of these challenges means that people in the community have to change the way that they do business. So how do we solve this? So we use it to community currencies. So community currencies, they are tools in the community or technologies that are used in the community that are focused on how money should be spent. And the idea is that money should and should indeed function so that it suits society needs. The society should not work for money, but money should work for the society. So community currencies usually target four areas. One, they raise the quality of the public service. Two, they support small businesses and the local economy. They also address social inclusion, and they build a social fabric, and they improve environmental sustainability. The other thing about the community currency. So our community currency, we called it Sarafu Credit. So before we had each community name, but it expanded, and now we're in five communities. So we decided to give it an umbrella name, a Sarafu Credit. Sarafu means currency and credit. So what are we trying to address in the community? We are trying to address the need for people to be able to access credit. You notice that in most areas of the community, especially now with the economy downfall, most people can't meet their basic needs. And so what the currency does, it helps the community meet its basic needs. So for instance, people worry about where will I get water, where will I get food. And most of the time you find in the community there are small businesses, and everyone is staying at home. No one is going to the other person to get what they want. And it's not because they don't want, it's because they don't have money to get those needs. So what does the community currency do? It gives them a model of exchange. It's like a barter system. So you get 200 businesses that come together or more, and they get an opportunity to exchange. So if before people sit in the house, I want water from my neighbor, but I don't have money, with the community currency, they're able to go exchange that water. If maybe I want bread from my neighbor, but I didn't have money, the community currency gives them a chance to go and get that bread from the other person. And as they do this, they talk to each other. And that's what's most important. Because they are talking to each other, they become aware of the problems that are in the society, and they look for solutions within each other. So now they are able to come together and say, okay, what's our problem? Our problem is that you can't meet our needs. What can we do about it? We are going to come up with a system whereby we can exchange our goods and services. And how can we do that? We are going to introduce a community currency. What is our other problem? Maybe we have trash, a lot of trash in the community. What can we do about it? They talk. And they say we can pay youth to do that. But we don't have money to pay the youth. What can we do? We can give them the community currency, and then the youth can come back and we can give them goods and services from the community. So basically, it supports the local economy. You can see a picture there. It shows how it does. So like that, showing there, the businesses and schools are given credit. So the community currency is IOU. Before, I would go to my neighbor and they give me bread, and then I'd have to wait maybe at the end of the month to get back my money for the bread. But now it's possible for my neighbor to give me bread, and if I'm a teacher, I say, because you gave me bread, I can teach your child. And if I can teach your child, maybe I don't need bread back, but maybe I need somebody to ferry me on the motorcycle, so I can go to that other person to ferry me on the motorcycle. And it's powerful because it enables them to do those things even when they don't have money. And when they get money, they can sell that money for other things. So like they're showing, they're talking to each other, they're able to exchange, and they're able to save more. And because they're saving more, they can come together and build bigger businesses. And when they build bigger businesses, they get to solve problems that are within the society. So there, for instance, like I was saying, Mama Sylvia owes 20 shillings in school fees. Maybe her child wants to go to school, and what is needed is 20 shillings. What does she do? She doesn't have the 20 shillings. So what she does, she goes to the head teacher, can see him smiling there. And so the head teacher says, okay, I need my 20 shillings for the school fees. So instead of waiting for a whole week to get the 20 shillings, Sylvia pays the teacher in Sarafu credit. And then when she pays, what does the head teacher do? The head teacher can go and buy building materials from another lady without using the national currency, just the community currency. When she buys the building material, the lady can go to the shop and buy food. And then when she buys from the shop, what does the shopkeeper do? The shopkeeper can go to Mama Sylvia and buy fruit. So the whole idea about community currency is that maybe we don't need things from each other, but we need things from the wider community. So I don't have to get straight from Enric, I can go to someone else to get it. So it's a cycle. So remember, they are not using the normal Kenya shillings. They're just using a barter system. I need this from you, I can go. So what the community currency does, essentially it's a record of exchange. At the end of the day, it tells you that I traded something worth this much, and I can go to another person and trade something worth this much. So that's how it works. But the video will also explain more. So the other thing that it does, the community currency, for instance, it helps them do informal taxation. What do I mean by informal taxation? If we have problems in the society we want to deal with, we want to build a school, we want it to be better, what do? We can come together as businesses instead of waiting for the government to do it for us. Because I think as a society we believe so much in the up-bottom approach. But isn't it time that people work with the bottom-up approach? Can the community come together and solve its own problem? So the community currency gives that power to the people because they are talking to each other, they're able to exchange, and now they're meeting their basic needs. They have enough to sell, and when they sell, they can pull their resources together. Okay, what do we need? We want a better school. What can we do about it? We can pull our resources together and build a better school. So it's an informal form of taxation. Instead of waiting for the government to tax us, and then maybe wait for a whole year for the school to be built. Why not just collect the money on ourselves, tax ourselves locally, and build a school? So it's a form of community governance and self-taxation. So remember, it's not somebody else governing the community. The community has been able to come up with its own rules, and they're solving its own problems. So that's what the circle explains. And so in the end, they're able to do community service. So this one is just a summary of what the other picture is showing. The local business, the different types of business, they're able to tax themselves, and in the end, they are taking part in community development. So it's not waiting for somebody up there to make a decision. The community is making the decision on their own, and they're able to develop their own community. So as grassroots economics, we believe that prospering economies are built by thriving communities. And how do communities thrive? They thrive if they are given the power to make their own decisions. And how can they make their own decisions? If you find a way to make sure that they're able to trade their goods and services. Because at the end of the day, long time ago, people used to do the barter system until we introduced the money system. And the money system, what it does, it encourages us to hoard. You know? We value each other with how much money we have. So when I see Enrique, I'm to see how much money he has in the bank. But the community currency system does not encourage hoarding. It wants the money to circulate. So people are valued by what they have, their services. You don't have to have a similar trade. Whatever you have, we can be able to trade. So that's where there are prospering economies built by thriving communities. So I end by sharing a video, and then I welcome any questions.
Mama Sunga is a typical businesswoman living below the international poverty line in Kenya. She owns a well and sells the water to her many neighbors every day in order to care for her children. But due to economic instability, often her neighbors don't have money to buy water with. On these days and weeks, she cannot afford to pay for nutritious food, medicine, and school fees. But why does economic instability have such a devastating effect? Each one of Mama Sunga's neighbors run their own businesses. They are farmers, nurses, cooks, distributors, tailors, shopkeepers, carpenters, and so on. During these economic downturns, each of these neighbors still has goods and services to offer each other. Yet they don't have the money to exchange it with. There's a new solution. Mama Sunga joins a network of small businesses that are trying to create a stable marketplace by trading their excess capacity goods and services. Members in the network endorse Mama Sunga to receive a credit in Bangla Pesa to meet her basic needs. Bangla Pesa are security printed and issued as vouchers, which are usable for goods and services at all the other businesses in the network. Mama Sunga can now use Bangla Pesa to purchase nutritious food for her family from a local farmer. The farmer can now pay a bicycle operator to carry her potatoes to the market. The bicycle operator can fix his shoes at a cobbler, and the cobbler can visit Mama Sunga to get some water, finishing a full cycle of barter trade, all at a time when the market would normally be stagnant. With Bangla Pesa flowing through the community, trade increases and the market stabilizes. Mama Sunga's basic needs are now taken care of, even during the hardest months of the year. So what happened to the national currency? As Bangla Pesa helps to increase local trade, the national currency becomes a tool for savings and business investment. Because some of her basic daily needs are now met with Bangla Pesa, the Kenya shillings that Mama Sunga still receives for her water can be saved for improving her business and sending her kids to school. Bangla Pesa gives community members a simple but powerful tool for utilizing their potential trade capacity in order to pull themselves out of poverty.
questions?
What is the ideal number of people that they can work with that type of currency?
Like for us, we have up to even 300, 400 in our community. So the possibilities are limitless. Because you might have even some other countries, even an entire town doing it. So as long as you know each other and you're willing to accept back from the other person, you can do as many as possible. Yes?
Can I ask, is each Bangladesh network closed? Are they allowed to trade amongst each other, or it's either one village or one community, it only
circulates,
and the others
only circulate there? Yes, so it's closed. They are called community currencies because they are geographically set. So like we have one that's called Bangla Pesa, that's in Bangla. We have another one that's called Mombeni Pesa, it's in Mombeni. So it's for each. The idea behind it is that you don't want to steal from the community. And remember, they are trading within each other. So we want people that will bring back to the community. We want to make sure that you won't come and take something from the community and you go disappear for a whole month. And the whole idea about community currencies, it doesn't encourage holding. You can't go keep it. We are trying to give back the power to the community in such a way that we don't monetize the community. People don't see us as the much money you have, but that it can circulate. So that's why we make sure it's within a community. So each community is saying, essentially, when you receive the voucher, you are saying that I am willing to trade back with you. And it doesn't have to be one-on-one with you. It can be with anyone else in the community.
What is the government think about this?
So when we started, it was rather interesting and stressful. They didn't like it very much. We tested jail a bit, like for a few days, and there was a lot of trouble. But the good thing is the world these days is a global village. You know, there's a lot of networking and that. So we had to reach out to other countries that were doing some version of the community currency, and that right to our government and say, we are not competing with the national currency. All we are trying to do is give people a chance to survive hard times. And we are trying to make sure that the community is able to survive because they have the capacity. We don't want to always have them looking to the government. Why not encourage the community to also solve some of these problems? Yeah, so they don't like it so much, but yeah, we are trying.
How long has this been around, and can you give like a real success story or two?
Okay, so we started in 2010. We had a different version, it was called the Copesa, and it was mostly environmental. So like there's an aspect to it that I didn't talk about the communities, since they are getting a lot of time to meet their basic needs, they are getting time also to deal with other problems in the society, like environmental problems. Like we have most of the communities, Bangla Pesa has been there since 2013, and they've been trading all that time, since 2013. And then you find that because they are doing a lot of trade and it's successful, they're also doing other things, like they're taking part in cleanups, they are planting trees, they are also visiting other people that are not well off in the society. They've also been able to put their resources together. And for instance, if they are small scale business owners, maybe they sell cereals, and maybe each person sells maybe 10 kilograms of cereals per day, they are able to pool their resources and they are able to build larger shops that now they can become wholesalers. We've taught them also about food gardens, organic food, so that they don't have to go to the market to buy. They can be producers of food. And the good thing about being organic food producers is that they know what they put into their food. They know that it doesn't have insecticides. So they get also to worry about other things like climate change, global warming. So yeah, it's working. And because of Bangla Pesa, that's why we're able to start the other communities. So we only had one, but now we have 5 in Kenya. And we've had other African countries also approach us wanting to do. Like South Africa have been doing it for the past 2 years now. Yeah. So it's really...
Did it start in Kenya?
The community currencies. No, they've been there for a long time in other countries. It's just that community currencies are different in each country. You can choose. Like, for instance, if you go to Switzerland, there's the wheel. There's the Baxton pound in Britain, but they're suited for different needs, and that's the magic of the community currencies. It's just that it's not like the national currency, whereby it's all about you getting it and putting it in the bank, and then you say, oh, you are a billionaire. Community currencies are able to morph and suit different needs of different communities. So like even if in Greece they started, maybe it wouldn't look the same as the way it's in other countries, but to be able to suit what the Greek people want. So yes, they are there in other countries, so many of them. And they've been able to help those countries get through very hard economic times. For instance, if you're able to read the story of the one in Brazil, it really helped them when the economy was down. There are some that instead of doing the vouchers, they have what they call time credits, whereby you trade in terms of time. So like, we don't have money, but I have my time. I can help babysit your child, and then you can trade, like maybe I spent 1 hour babysitting your child, and then in time you can go and redeem that time for food. Or you can go redeem it at the hairdresser, or you can redeem it maybe for a ride in the taxi. So there are different ways community currencies work. They don't have to be currency. They can just be a service or time, so they work differently to suit society needs.
Who creates the money, and who is controlling how much money is in the money system?
So,
how is it distributed in the beginning?
Okay, so the way you saw in the video, the community comes together. And then, for our case, we want the community currency to meet the basic needs. So, for instance, the community would sit down and ask themselves, how much money do I require daily to meet my basic needs? And maybe I require 200 shillings daily. And so you decide that every day, each person will receive 200 worth of the credit. And that's what we will trade, because we want it to help us meet the basic needs. So it's up to the community to decide their capacity. It's not some central bank somewhere deciding, okay, you can have this much. So the community is looking at what our capabilities. And so like for us, how we help the community, we help them to print the vouchers. So they've decided that they want to trade up to maybe 400 voucher every day. So you help them print, because essentially, the vouchers are a promise. We call them a promissory note. When you give somebody 20 shillings worth of voucher, you are promising that when they come back to you, you'll give them back 20 shillings worth of a service or a good. Yeah. So it's the community that audits, and they get to decide, and that's the beauty of it, of the community currencies. And that's why I was saying they morph. They are flexible. They suit each community differently.
So there is a kind of assembly from the community?
Yes, they usually sit together and they elect a committee. It has to be very participatory. We are trying to bring back the sense of community, to bring people together, to talk. Because I think in the world we are getting away from that. Everybody is getting stressed and they are staying where they are. And yet all the solutions we have in the community. It makes no sense to have a family that's sleeping hungry, and they have something they can offer, even if it's not money. I'm sure they can come to your home, they can help you clean, and you don't have to give them money, you can give them the food. And maybe you don't have the food at that moment, but another community member has the food, and maybe you need a different kind of service from that community member. So that's what we are trying to solve. The idea that everything shouldn't be monetized. There are other ways to solve our problems.
What is the difference between the promise and the loan?
So it's the same thing. It's like when you, in English we say, I owe you. If you give me, if I come to your shop, you're selling apples, and then I don't have money. So I take apples worth €5, yes? So I owe you €5, okay? And I can go away, you sit there knowing that I owe you €5. So it's still a loan, yes? I have to pay it back. But it's also a promise that since I've gone away with your apples, I am promising that I'll come back and pay the apples. So it's a promissory note and it's still a loan. So it's the same thing. But it's different because I don't have to necessarily come to you. You don't have to necessarily come to me to get the €5. You can get it from another person. Because all of us in the community essentially are promising that we are willing to help each other pay that debt. So it's the same, it's a promise and it's a loan. So
there is no interest in that.
No, we don't, there is no idea of interest. We are, the community essentially is saying what you give is what you get. No one is trying to gain more from the other. So everyone is getting an equal, it's fair share. If you give €5, you get back €5. So you can't go and say, okay, he took €5, I want €6. No, it doesn't work like that. So that's why it's a zero interest loan. It's a promise, I'll pay €5, I'll give back €5. If you don't get from me, the community is promising that along the way you'll get from someone else. It doesn't have to be in euros, you can get it in maybe a taxi ride or somebody could clean your house, but it will be worth the €5.
So you talk about economic instability. So where does this instability come from? Why is there
economic instability? We are saying the community currency is a way to deal with economic instability in our country.
What is the origin of economic instability?
It's the same like here in Greece. What was the origin of the economic stability? Like all countries have different reasons why maybe the economy goes down. So what the community currency does, it helps the community members be able to survive such times. So like maybe in Kenya, if maybe the inflation is high, and maybe most of the people can't get money or there's unemployment. So that's a form of economic stability because people can't get access to money. So essentially the community is saying, even when there isn't money from the national government or in the community, we'll find a way to survive using our community currency. So it's not them having, it's a solution to economic instability.
Is there a correspondence between the national currency and the local currency?
It has to be, we say it's parity, it's at par. Every one Bangla pesa is the same as one Kenyan shilling.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's the same. But also remember, as much as they are trading within each other, they have to remember they are part of the larger country. So all their trade is not wholly in the community currency. There is some that is in the national currency. Because they will not always stay in that place. At one time, they'll have to go out. So that's why you decide like maybe 200 voucher every day, and maybe their capacity is up to 1,000. So maybe they trade with 200 community currency, and the rest maybe 800 is of the national currency. So it's for them to have them meet their basic needs that they wouldn't have otherwise met if they didn't have the money. But we say it's parity, it's at par. Everyone is the same as. Yes.
You say that because of the water, everybody began to start to produce at home because we have sales of money, for example,
we are saying if it can be followed. Oh, you're saying to get rid of the national currency? The whole idea is they are called complementary currencies. They are supposed to complement the national currency. But I think it would be an ideal one, I don't know. Because I think that's where we were long time ago, and it was about that. People were able to exchange, and they were surviving fine, until somebody decided that there has to be inequalities in society. So maybe it would be a nice thing. But the way the currencies work, they are complementary. They complement the national currency. They, not all of them work to try to abolish the whole. It's trying to make sure that the community backs, that has the power to be able to survive times that they wouldn't otherwise survive.
I want to ask the opposite question.
Okay.
Like, for example, like for the last 12,000 years, I will try to explain my thought. You know, and in the end, you know, like I would like to listen to your idea about this that I'm talking about. Okay, it's not exactly a question. It's like I will try to make some idea to see how you find, you know, like from a far away land. For the last 12,000 years, the dominant culture, the dominant economic culture, it is exchange. We live in the civilization of exchange. Money is the best evolved way to do exchange. Like to go back to a civilization without money and keeping the exchange, it is like irrational, because anyway, money is the best way, the most evolved way to do exchange. So if we have to negate this system, we have to negate exchange, not the money. The money is a very good system, especially if it is well organized from a community like this, that it is a very nice way to organize the exchange. But I wonder, as you don't, these people anyway, they don't have money. And they have very few things. So few things that they cannot even exchange them. It's very difficult even to exchange them, you know. And also, like if they start to exchange, someone has something, someone has not, someone made more, someone has less. Exchange will never be equal, anyway. Like, because I am more powerful and I have more things, you are less powerful and you have less things. Exchange will never be equal. In this technical way that you do it, you know, like in the small sphere of a small amount of people, it is easier to achieve some kind of equality. Even though still I'm wondering, you know, like if the people that... If the people, they don't have business, or they don't have something, they don't have anything, you know, like how they survive. This is like a small question about your system. But my main question is, how we can find ways to go further from the civilization of exchange into a real communal organizing of the life, in the way, you know, like of the society of the gift, the society of the sharing. Because exchange is based that I'm going to give you something, and because you will give me something. I wonder, you know, like if the people can live, you know, or can investigate ways of living that I'm going to give you something because I want to give you something. And if I want to give you something, to give something, you know, we can produce communal situations where everybody have open access, you know, and the free distribution of the things produce environments where the people, they don't need anymore to exchange. Because they have access, like communal production and freedom of sharing. I wonder how you find this thing. Even though I'm sure, I'm pretty sure, you know, like, that, I mean, as much as, because you give most of your life, you give, like, so much power and so much focus, you know, like, on to try to create a fair way of exchange economy. Probably, you know, like, my question is even irrelevant, in a way, you know. But I would like to hear, you know, like, because you are a part of a movement, you know, like, for a communal life, you know, like, how you find, you know, the idea of sharing, of free distribution, you know, and communal production and free distribution of the basic needs, you know. As long as it exists there, and the main reason that I do this question to you, it is that because there at least exists a community, like exists like a communal life. This to do in the city where the people are more isolated and more selfish and more like in distance to each other, it's even more difficult to think something like that. But there, you know, like you have the agriculture, you have the water, you have the things. Why you don't share?
Thank you for your question. So yeah, I get you. Like in Kenya, some years back, we had a system whereby women would build for each other houses. And how it works is that would 10 women would come together, and they come to your house and they help you build the house. So we had mud houses and thatches and what. And no one will ask for money. Oh, they come one day, they carry each other 20 women, and they build the house. And when they finish, all you have to do is if you have something like food, they'll just eat food that day and leave. And tomorrow they're in someone else's house. So there's that whole idea of we're helping each other. And so it's like a merry-go-round. I'm building the house, at the end of it, they will come build my house. And your idea about the exchange, we are working at the premise that money made it such a way that the only way I can feel happy that I exchange something with you is if you give me money form. And we're trying to move into a community whereby we are recognizing individual talents. Like, I don't want to limit that it's only money value or that you can only give me food. What if it's not only food that you can give me? What if you can sing? Or what if you're good at cutting my hair? So why not recognize the individual of each person? And why we shouldn't monetize that. We should be able to say that if you can sing, and if maybe at the end of it all of us are workers, we can sit here and listen to you sing, and that's what you can give us. So yes, you may look at it like exchange. At the end of it, it's exchange, yes, because it's something that you are good at. Someone else is good at cutting their hair. So we don't have to pay them money. They can come to my house, I give them bread, I can go to the house and have my hair cut. So all we are trying to say is recognizing that there's diversity in the community, and that sometimes we should move away from the idea that we have to monetize that. Why can we not just say it's okay for people to be that way and try to live in a community that appreciates those individual needs without monetizing them? That's the goal.
And so they can save some money, the real national money, to create a business or something.
Yes, because, let's say today I don't have the money, but I still have something to offer the community. I have a good or service, which means that the day that I have access to money, whatever need I had it has already been met, so I can be able to save that money. So it will make my life better. I can transfer it to something else. Either I could buy more stock for my business, or maybe I had a child that I was to send to school, or if I wanted to build a better house, I could do it. So, I think the example I gave him was like some years back, because he was talking about the whole idea of communal. But the community currency that you are doing, they only trade up to maybe 200 shillings a day, and that's not the full trade. Like it's to help them meet the needs that they wouldn't otherwise meet, but they still have the community and they still have to trade with the national currency. So it's the excess, what they wouldn't have been able to meet, but they still need the national currency. That's why it's complementary. It works with the national currency. Because during other times, they will still have to trade with the national currency. Like, they must be attending, they have to leave the community. They can't go with that voucher outside. It's only working within that community. I hope you understand.
How fast does this has to this circle has to close so you can be able to run a new one? I mean, you need to have a zero credit at the end of the day, at the end of the week.
So when we start, we usually look at the daily trade. So that's we give them for each day. So it's what helps them daily. And so at the end of each day, essentially, if you started with 200, you should be able to have back that 200. So it tells you you are even. If not, then you find ways. Either you're supposed to get back from somebody who has more, or you're supposed to give back. So it's for daily trade, because it's meant to meet their daily needs. Maybe only 200 are willing to trade. So you never force them. It's only for the ones that want to. So like they could say, okay, out of us 100 businesses we are willing to. So you can't, somebody can't be forced, okay, you're staying here, you have to do it. So the we is the community. So maybe I'm including myself as part of the community. So they sit together, and then you introduce them the idea. Like maybe the community is saying, we.
The idea is my country, I don't know what I'm asking, I'm part of the community, and what's going to happen? Why is this currency and not the local currency? One way or another, I'm out of the currency because I have no money now, no nothing to trade, to obtain.
Exactly. So see that, you saying that is what made the community sit together and decide that. So you have you and 50 other people are saying, here I am, I can't eat, I have nothing. But you have something, even if it's not money, there must be something you have. Yes? You are strong enough, you can be able to carry somebody's good. So that is what made the community currency start. Everyone is like, why am I here? I'm hungry and I have no money. But then they realize, oh no, you don't have nothing, you have something. So what something can you give back to the community? And because of asking those questions, they are able to sit together and come up with solutions.
So it's another kind of loan. It's not a loan from the bank system. It's a loan from the community.
Yes. Yeah. Essentially, we are giving each other loans. But they are really small because 200 euro is like 200 shillings is like 2 euro a day. Yes. Yes?
Who set the value of 4 hours of working of me, for example?
The community can set the value. But usually it's said it's at parity with the Kenya shilling because, like, you could say you have a value, you could value yourself, and maybe most of the time there is bargaining, yes? Like, you could say, if I carry you with the ride from here until the tourist site, maybe I charge 4 euros, and maybe people will go, ah, no. You can do for 1 euro and you can think about it. So you can set the value and you can decide with the community. Yes?
My question is how this whole system can be independent from the capitalistic system, the external commerce, etc. Meaning, who set the value, like he said, when I have a business and I sell goods or food, for instance, I buy them, buy them for my business with the national currency. So when the value is set from the external world, no, outside the community. So when the value rises, this is a problem inside the community. Because if someone pays me with the local currency, that value can must correspondence with the external value. So, to go further on Tasso's thought about another civilization of offer and not exchange, the way to be independent, so there's no need of exchange, is to have in the community all the resources you need. Is it so? So maybe the effort would be to assure that the resources will be enough inside the community so you can be independent. So no exchange will be needed because all people will just offer what they do better, or they and all will be for all. It's
okay. So
free access to goods, free access, and so there will be a communal way to live that is based on social offer and participation.
Okay. So I'll start with your first question, who sets the value? So they are called complementary currencies because they have to work with the national currency. And why am I saying that? They are recognizing that there's already a national currency in place, and so they are complementing. So which means that for you, if, and the other thing is that they are parity with the national currency, as in it goes euro for community currency. which means if your euro value has gone up, the community currency value also goes up. That's why it complements. And then your idea about the community, I think the whole money system brought about this. It took out the whole sense of community. Because like where I'm from, years back, there was no individual land. Like we would go till community land, and when the food is produced, it wasn't one person's, it was for everyone. And so there was equal share, equal fair. So it's fair, they say fair share. But along the way, people introduced the currency, and all of a sudden, I think people got the idea that somehow it's not enough, and everyone has to have a lot. And that's what brought took out that whole sense of community. So I think the best thing is to, yeah, it's idealistic, but if we could go to a world that there was that fair share, it would solve a lot of problems. And I think right now in the world is the whole idea of the social solidarity economy. People are trying to find a way that to make sure the economy works for social solidarity, so that we move away from that whole individualism, from the idea that the resources are going to end at 1 minute, so I have to hold as much as possible. I think always someone said you have to be the change you want to see in the world. So if you can start sharing fair share, I'm sure it can have some ripple effects. Yes, it will take time, but maybe the whole economic shocks in the world, they're trying to tell us that. They're telling us that it's time we moved away from being individuals and we start thinking about. And most of the countries that are surviving in the world are the ones that have that social solidarity. Like they're not thinking about me, they're thinking about us.
That there is also a sign of what exchange needs to be made. The only thing that I agree with Tassos and Tatiana, but the reason to have something like a currency is to mark the exchange needed. Because I have water and you can sing, and somebody else can do a haircut, but we will never fix our exchanges and see what we really need and what we don't have at all, and we have to bring it to community from somewhere elsewhere. So, although this is very good proposal, I think that this kind of currency marks the needs and also makes people think what else they can do that they wouldn't think of doing it if they were just straight farmers or straight singers or, you know, doing only one thing. So there is, if you have to finish this circle in the day, you would probably give something that somebody needs and take something that you don't really need, but you can have it because you have something that will have no value in the end of the day. So you will buy something or you will ask for something that it's not really needful because you don't really need something, but you have to close the circle. Is it right or I'm completely wrong about that?
Yes, you have to close the circle, but it's the whole idea, because it's backed by the community, it means that you are safe. Even if you don't close the circle, there's another day to do it. It's not like the loan from a bank whereby you have to worry who's knocking at the door, you know. This one gives them the safety net. It's saying that as long as I'm living in this community, along the, maybe in a 2 days' time, if I need something, I'll still, yeah, so it doesn't really restrict them so much. What they do, sometimes they give themselves funds, sometimes they close it even in a month's time. So yeah, it's removing that whole idea of desperation of having to, you know, always looking behind your back, somebody going to knock or something. So, yeah.
What are the most serious problems you meet with using community
community carriage.
So, yeah, like most technologies, I think there's a soft part of technology, people's perceptions. Like when we started, people were still into the idea about, you know, the traditional money system. And we had some people wanting still to hold on to that. And so trying to explain that this one discourages that, it takes time. And also since it was something new, people weren't understanding so much, it took a lot of training. But then the good thing is, since it's backed by the community, it's the community members who explain to each other. Sometimes when you get somebody from outside coming to explain something, it becomes it's the thing for that person. But then since it's something that's within the community, they find ways to solve their own problems when you let them. So yes, we had the first one took a long time, but then the subsequent ones were easy. But that first one, yeah, it took a lot of groundwork and a lot of explaining, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And excuse me, people had a lot of questions. And then also the beauty of the community currency is that when community members ask questions, it means that you can change it to suit their needs. It doesn't have to look like the community currency of another place. So that really helped.
People's behaviors and relationships change.
Yes.
Because that you meet quite often, you have a sentence, something like a sentence in the community.
Yes.
So that means people get to know each other better than before.
Yes. And
so they change behavior even.
Of community currencies, that removing that me, and making sure, because we want the result of community currencies to be interaction, the community not thinking as, but as a whole community, and seeing that the problems of the other person are my problems, and because I'm helping solve that other person's problems, and because they are trading with me, we are talking more. And because we are talking more, we are looking at problems that are together ours, and we are solving them together. And because they are solving them together, they worry about other things in the community, like are we living in a clean place? Can we plant trees so that we breathe fresher air? But if they are not meeting their basic needs, no one has time to think about if there's a tree in there. But not because they are doing that, they are meeting those needs. And it's really helping, they are solving other problems. And so they are making the world a better place. Thank you. I think I'll let you look. Yes. Yes.
I want to say that the most important thing is the idea system we have seen. It's not the exchange system. I think the most important thing is that you meet. Solve the problems together. That's the most important thing. And the other, it's that we build human relations. I believe that this concept will be the right place to build in these small communities. Okay, in large areas like Athens or big cities, it's difficult to be built because we have a system and this system, it's not only economic capitalism, I mean, it's not only economic, it's we have destroyed the relations. We do it in here also, in this thing, but we haven't successful. It isn't successful. We have a lot of examples, but it didn't work because it's my opinion the human relations between the people in Western community, it's broken. We are individuals, we are selfish. In community like yours, I think it's best to be done because we are closer, we do things together. If you build the house of your neighbor, and your neighbor came to your house and built it, this is fantastic. We have these things here to do it. We go to the supermarket, we take what we need. We do it with money and by ourselves. We not do it together. We have lost this thing. And I say it again, and I close. The most important thing is relations. We build relations. If we build relations, it's good. It's a good word.
Yeah, just to add to what you are saying, so I was saying the community currencies work differently. Like in Britain, maybe it's a town like Justice, the community currency is between business owners. So you get jewelry shops, small shops. So it doesn't have to really work in the community, no? There are other different ways you can work. And for instance, for them, they were able to, you know, they were like big developers can come to a place and they said they want to destroy part of the street. And because they were having a community currency between the business owners, they had one voice and they were able to fight against this big developer. So that's the thing about community currency. They don't have to really work. So like even if in Greece, you can find a way that can work that suits. Like in Switzerland, it's a country that's different from Kenya. They have their own community currency in Brazil. So there are so many different places in the world that it's working differently. So all people need for complementary currencies to find what do we want this currency to do for us. And then you find a way for it to work for you.